Eu? I want to read for you tonight a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and say a few things to you about it. let me say something that we left out, I think, this morning before we read the text, however. We forgot to mention the date that we're starting the landing, I think. And it begins September the 3rd, which is Tuesday week. Also, I meant to give you the information that our speaker for Tuesday night at Celebrate Recovery is Judge Ken Bailey. He's going to be here and share with Celebrate Recovery. If you'd like to come and hear him, if you've never met Judge Bailey, I consider him to be a friend, even to all of those who appear before him in court, because he takes action, I believe, based on his concern for their welfare. So Judge Bailey will be here Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, if you'd like to come and hear it. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," that's translated in modern terminology by the word love. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. This is known as the Great Love Chapter, the Hymn of Love. It is powerful, inspiring, profound, humbling, and challenging. However, if you just read this chapter and remove it from its context, much of its message and the application of its message is lost. Phillips Brooks said, "Preaching is where truth touches life. It's personal. It's practical. So we need to take the Word of God and personalize it and listen for God to speak to us through the Word of God. There are two words from which we translate the meaning the Word of God, the Word from God. One is the word logos, which means the written Word of God, and the other is rhema, which means the spoken Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, the Word is both spirit and it is life. And so it is God talking to me, and it is God talking to you, the Word of God. And I believe that's what this passage does as we listen to what the Spirit has to say to us. Paul was identifying and addressing, as he wrote this book to the Corinthian church. As I told you last week, Paul was the founding pastor of the church at Corinth. And he wrote this book back to them in order to correct some moral and spiritual and problems of unity and other problems there in the Corinthian church. And so here he was identifying and addressing the specific problems among the Corinthian church in chapter 12 and those chapters before that, and even those that follow the 13th chapter. And then he writes this 13th chapter right there in the middle. He was still on that subject, however, dealing with problems that existed in the Corinthian church when he wrote chapter 13. Namely, he was addressing the abuse of the gifts. There were people there in the Corinthian church who were going around bragging and boasting about how many spiritual gifts they had received. And some of them even arguing over which ones of the gifts were most important. And so Paul dealt with the abuse of gifts, the divisions that were taking place there among believers, envy, selfishness, impatience, bad behavior, and even other things. But I want you to notice that the very last verse in chapter 12, verse 31, and Paul is dealing with all these issues with the Corinthian church. And he makes this statement. He says, yet I show you a better way. The most excellent way is how he puts it. In other words, he's saying, I want to show you the best way. And then he writes this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And that is the better way. He's saying the better way is not to argue about the gifts, not have this division going on among you, and not go around boasting about your spiritual gifts. But he says the better way is to love one another. And so Paul's diagnosis of the Corinthian church would probably be that they were spiritual baby Christians. Their symptoms were that they were abusing the gifts, and there was divisions and envy and selfishness among them. They simply did not know how to love each other. And the cause was the lack of maturity and the deficiencies of the graces of the Spirit of God operating in their lives. The cure was that they grow up in Christ, that they get out of the playpen, that they die to self, that they quit sucking their thumb as being baby Christians, and That was a choice that they would have to make. Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, said, "We have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another." You know, it takes more than religion to help us love one another. We can, you know, we want to keep, it seems sometimes we want to keep old offenses alive. That's one of the most disappointing things to me as a pastor is when I encounter folks who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, but yet they seem to want to keep the old offenses alive that they have experienced with people. They seem to determine never to forgive and never to give people another chance. When you mention certain people's names to them, that's the first thing that comes to their mind is some offense that took place maybe 10, 20, or 30 years ago. And that's the first thing they bring up when their name is mentioned. That's one of the first indications to me that our love is not what Christ wants it to be for each other. A recovering, healthy church is a church that is growing in love for Jesus Christ and other Christians and for lost souls. A healthy church is one that is growing in love for Christ and for one another and for lost souls. And so Paul writes this 13th chapter and hits the nail squarely on the head, folks. I was walking in the YMCA last week and I heard Tina Turner's voice coming over the sound system. They play music in there most all the time. And guess what she was singing? What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Well, I want to tell you, love has everything to do with it. Love's, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about love's legacy. And Paul says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Love's more than just a word. More than just a word that we use, or maybe a word that we're sometimes even afraid to use. Sometimes I'll say to Miss Judy, "I love you." And she'll say, "Prove it." And that usually means, do something for me. Put your money where your mouth is if you say you love me. And usually there's something specific that she wants when she says that. But love makes us who we are. And we are what we love. We are what we love. There, Pastor Nathan shared this with me last week. He and I were talking about this passage of Scripture. And he said that one of his professors, I believe it was, had preached a sermon on this passage. And he had said as he studied for this message, He found that there were 19, it took 19 different English words to express or to translate fully the word that is used in the Bible for love. And so Paul says the greatest of these, there's faith and there's hope and there's love. And the greatest of these is love. Look again there at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So love is enriching. I want to say three things to you tonight. Love is enriching, love is edifying, and love is enduring. Paul names five of the spiritual gifts. He mentions tongues and prophecy and knowledge and faith and giving. All spiritual gifts. But without love, Paul says, they are all nothing. They are empty. They are useless. Without love, they're just noise. They're meaningless ritual and pretense and empty religion. When what we do and say is motivated by love, it enriches others. It enriches and it glorifies the name of God, and it enriches the world that we live in, and it enriches us as well when what we do is motivated by love. Love enriches all that it touches. It breathes life and hope. It is victorious. It conquers hate, and it conquers prejudice. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Love enriches. And here Peter says, love shall cover the multitude of sins. Just as light conquers darkness, you walk into a dark room and turn a light on and it dispels the darkness. And the same way light conquers darkness, love conquers all things. Love conquers hate. Love conquers jealousy. It conquers envy. It conquers offenses that you and I may have and enables us to be more Christ-like. Love is enriching and love is edifying. In verse 4 through verse 6, Paul says, love suffereth long. In other words, he's saying love is patient and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. In other words, it is not proud. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That means it does not dishonor others. Love seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love is edifying. Love is enriching, and love is edifying. You know, God created us with seven basic human needs. We all have the need to be heard and understood. You know the feeling when you're standing in a group of people and you're talking and somebody else walks up and all attention is focused on them and nobody's listening to what you're saying. Everybody has the basic human need to be heard and understood, to be affirmed, to be built up and encouraged, to be blessed and not be depressed, to be safe and to be touched and to be chosen and to be included. Love is edifying. I remember hearing Maurice Berquist several years ago in a minister's meeting right here in Tennessee. As he spoke one night, he shared some of the things in his ministry that he wished that he had done differently. And one of the things that he spoke about that I'll never forget was, he said, if I could have my ministry all over again, my preaching ministry, he said, I would spend more time edifying people and building them up and encouraging them in their faith. Paul said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. My mother used to say some things when I was a child growing up that I've never forgotten. And one of those things that she used to say so often was this. She'd say, son, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. Love builds up. The purpose of all spiritual gifts is the edification of the body of Christ. All spiritual gifts. Pop Ogle, one of my counselors when I was in Gulf Coast Bible College, used to have this little saying, and it went like this. He'd say, my prayer is, Lord, help me to love people and show it, and to be great and not know it. Help me to love people and show it, and to be great and not know it. Love, Paul said, love transforms. It transforms impatience to long-suffering. It transforms envy into encouragement. It transforms pride to humility. It transforms self-seeking to serving. It does not behave itself, Paul said, unseemly or rude. It is not easily provoked. In other words, it doesn't have a short fuse. Paul said, love remembers or thinketh no evil. That means love remembers no evil. It does not keep a record of wrongs that people have done to us. Hey, folks, there's not a one of us sitting here tonight that hasn't been wrong sometime. But if you and I carry that wrong and that offense with us day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, it's going to drag us down more and more and more. What we need to do is turn those offenses over to God. What causes our offenses anyway is that we think we have certain rights. You know, I have a right to be treated such and such a way. No, you don't. As a child of God, you and I turn our rights over to Jesus Christ. We don't have any rights anymore. The only right we have is to know and do the will of God and bring honor to our Savior. That's the only rights we have. But we carry offenses around that become a problem and that weight us down. We keep a record of wrongs if we do not love people as we should. I knew a fellow one time, his name was Mac, this bitty years ago, and every conversation I can remember having with Mac, I realized that he kept a mental list of the people who had offended him. And if you happen to mention one of their names, that would trigger his memory about them of something bad, and he'd go off. And so I got to where I wouldn't mention anybody's name around him, because he had something that he had filed in his memory that they had done that had offended him, and he refused to ever forget it. He's one of the most miserable people I've ever known. He reminded me of a story I heard one time of about two couples that happened to be on a trip and were staying in the same hotel, and they hadn't seen each other for a long time, and they happened to run into one another one evening as they were coming in after the evening meal, and they struck up a conversation, were glad to see one another, and finally after about an hour the wives decided they were going to go on to their room because it was getting late. And the men stayed and talked and they talked and they talked until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then they decided they'd better go to their room or their wife may be upset. And so they each one left, went to the room. The next morning they saw each other, and one asked the other, said, how did your wife take it? Was she upset? He said, oh, no, she was okay. She understood. We were just renewing our old acquaintance. And he said, how about you? He said, my wife got historical. He said, you mean hysterical, don't you? He said, no. He said, I mean historical. She brought up every wrong thing I'd ever done. She got historical. Well, a lot of folks get historical with their offenses that keep them from honoring God and loving people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the criteria, folks. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive as God forgives. Wipe the slate clean. Love people. The scripture says in Psalm 103 and verse 12 that God removes our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. That's the way we ought to be toward one another when it comes to our offenses. We need to love one another and put away those things. Paul said, rejoice not in iniquity. In other words, shouldn't make us feel better. Shouldn't make us feel better if someone else fails or someone else stumbles. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. By the way, which is the foundation of all of the fruit that he mentioned there. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You can't have joy without love. Peace, you can't have peace without love. Long-suffering, you can't have long-suffering without love. Gentleness, you got to have love to be gentle. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you got to have love to have all the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He says, against such there is no law or there is no judgment. So love edifies, because it releases the power of the Spirit in and through our lives. It edifies. Love enriches, and love edifies, and love is enduring. In verse 7 through 11, Paul writes about love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there is be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know in part, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away childish things. Prophecy, knowledge, tongues, or they're not permanent gifts. I'll never forget driving through Houston, Texas, and this seems like a century ago, when I was in Gulf Coast Bible College, and a young man was with me that I had led to the Lord, and we had been out witnessing to folks, and we were on our way home, and it was after midnight, and just before we arrived at home, at my home at least, we passed a grocery store, and there were several teenagers in the parking lot, and so we decided we'd stop and witness to them, and so we struck up a conversation with them, and I'll never forget what one of the boys said. When he found out that we were believers, he said, you know, he said, I got saved one time, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I spoke in tongues. And he said, matter of fact, I still speak in tongues. And I said, really? You're waiting on a drug drop here in this parking lot? And you still speak in tongues? Hey, so people have some strange, strange ideas. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's what he hung on to. He quoted that scripture to us. And I thought, wait a minute. You're saying that you still have the gift of the Spirit and you're backslidden, buying drugs? You know, I think I recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think I recognize God's presence and God's power, and I don't believe that's here. So prophecy, knowledge, tongues, are not permanent gifts. Paul says gifts will fail, but love endures forever. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God is love. The Corinthian church, they were like children with toys that would break and wear out and get lost and lose their usefulness. You know, toying with the spiritual gifts. And so are we sometimes. We have wrong values. We have unordered love in our life. You know, we expect a child to think like a child, to understand like a child, to act like a child, to speak like a child. But we also expect them to grow up and mature and begin to act like an adult. And so does God have those same expectations of you and I. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, but eventually, he said, we put away childish things. Growing believers, stop just being takers and consumers. And if they're growing believers, they eventually become givers. They stop nickel-diming God with the leftovers in their life and start digging down deep and start tithing and start putting the promises of God to the test. That if we will honor God in our finances, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we'll not be able to receive. But the truth is, folks, none of us have arrived yet. We're still a work in progress. But if we're not growing in faith, if we're not growing in our love for God and for one another and for the family of God, we're unhealthy. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul wrote, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Are we pressing toward the mark in our love for people, our love for Jesus Christ, and our love for the lost? Love is enriching. Love is edifying. Love is enduring. And everything love produces is eternal. The 12th and 13th verse in this chapter says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Faith, true faith, becomes sight. Hope is fulfilled as we trust Christ. And Paul says love is the greatest of all, because it energizes our faith and gives us hope. A man by the name of Henry Drummond lived back in the 1800s. And he was an educator, very smart individual. And he became a Christian. He trusted Christ and was saved. And he spent the rest of his life then trying to reconcile Christian theology with scientific theory, which doesn't jive sometimes. But he had at least one thing right. He wrote a little booklet that was entitled "The Greatest Thing in the World." And it was based on 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest thing in the world is love. Verse 8 says, "Charity, love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Love never fails. Without love, we're all lost failures. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, all the way down through verse 21, it talks about love. I'd like to, in closing, just touch a couple of these verses and remind myself and remind us of what Jesus said about this subject. He said in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then skipping on down to verse 11, he says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then on down to verse 18, he says, And we have known, believed, the love that God hath for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And verse 17 says, Herein is our love made perfect, or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear, Jesus said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In Matthew, or in John chapter 15 and verse 12 and 13, here's what Jesus said concerning himself. He said, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he made this unforgettable statement, Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. Love is enriching. Love is edifying. And love is enduring. What will our legacy be? Will it be a legacy of love? Or will it be something else? Let's pray. Father,